Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey everyone, I hope you're having a very good day. Check out this from this week's debate show. We went hard. It's three guests, it's three topics, no holds barred. Have Liverpool already cocked up the Premier League? Let's get into the debate. And the question to kick us off is, have we f***ed the league up already? Steve Plunkett.
Talk about two-footed, yeah?
Yeah.
No. You can never give City 4 points. You just can't afford to do that. But I can't surrender the league after two games. I can't go there. There's lots of twists and turns. We've got a World Cup coming up right in the middle of it. They might lose three or four of their key players to injury in the World Cup. I know I'm clutching straws a bit and hoping. Not that they get seriously injured, but in a way that it helps us. But it's going to be a two-part season, isn't it? In the second half of the season. What we need to say is we need to remain in touch for the point when we come back from the World Cup. And that's scary to say that after two games.
Yeah. Ian?
I've seen a tweet today saying you can't drop points against Crystal Palace at home and then go on and expect to win the league. Man City did last season. And that, I think, it's nowhere near. They only played two games. We've got so many players to come back. There's going to be so many, not distractions, but disruptions in the league this season that I think a lot more points are going to be dropped anyway. I don't see City or Liverpool being anywhere near as consistent as they've been the last couple of years. I think it's going to be a very different league this year.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
The problem we've got with this is, so I look back to Man City's start last season. So this time last season, we're 3 points ahead of them because they lose the Charity Shield and then they lose the opening day of the season away to Tottenham Hotspur. And so, if I was, and this depends on your mentality, I think, and what way you're looking at it, Steve, is that I would look at that and go, well, look, City drop points, and City actually lost the game of football at the start of the season and then go on and win the league. That should be a note of encouragement for us. But then I could equally flip it and go, Christ, City even lost the game and we still finish behind them, so we can't afford to be giving them an even bigger lead come the start of the season. It feels like what angle are we looking to approach this from kind of problem.
It's quite scary that after two games there are people in the world that genuinely believe that it's done.
Yeah.
not much of a spectacle, is it really, when you look at it that way?
No, but is this just the world we're living in now?
Yeah.
They've Liverpool and Manchester City. Manchester City fans feel exactly the same as we do whenever the shoe's on the other foot, by the way. So it's not just a City thing, it's a Liverpool thing as well. Both these sides have created this. Well, we want to say unsustainable. I think the fear is that it's unsustainable from Liverpool's perspective. City feel like this unstoppable juggernaut because we know ultimately they can just more freely throw money at the problem.
Yeah.
And they've been, and obviously look, they're delivering 4 out of 5 Premier League titles. tells you the story of why we are fearful that it could be done and dusted already.
And we start every season by saying, if you want to be champions, you have to finish above Manchester City. Mm-hmm. And that's very true. And it doesn't help that we play two teams where you've done it and I've done it. I'm sure Ian's done it. Look, you said last week, you looked at it and thought, we'll fucking win that one and we'll win that one and we'll win that one. And then 9 points in the bag and let's have a look at what comes in September. And clearly we're not as sharp and as incisive and as intense as we'd like to be.
Yeah.
You don't become a side that can't compete for titles or compete at the top end of the table overnight with the two bad games. Last night was better. But it wasn't, which you've obviously discussed this morning, but it wasn't where we want to be. Mm-hmm. And City will, there'll be a spanner in the works somewhere for City. We've got to play them twice. If we were to beat them twice, the 4 points is irrelevant.
Yeah.
And that's being like very, very much glass half full. And I think that's the way we have to approach it.
Yeah.
So there's loads and loads to play for. It's scary. Yeah. It's not nice being where we are.
I think the problem we've kind of got as well with this, Ian, is we haven't had this as a Liverpool for a long time, sitting under Jurgen Klopp, with the exception of the COVID season, but also people remember that. We were top of the league in December. It was just that's when it became unsustainable at that point. But I can't help but think of like every time prior to Jurgen, when we've come close and fallen short, and then the next season, we just fucked it. And it normally coincided with a little bit of churn in the sides as well, like, you know, a significant departure and maybe, you know, you're putting gambles on players coming in. That's what gnaws away at the back of my head sometimes. In 2008, 2009, Xabi Alonso leaves, we bring Akolani in instead, and it's not quite right. We bring Glenn Johnson in instead of Arbeloa, and it's not quite right. I think back to 13, 14 is a very similar sort of situation with Suarez moving on. Even 2001, 2002, you know, around that time, Julien loses the plot and we don't complete the deal for Anelka around that point and blah, 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 blah. That's the problem, is that because without an answer, it lives in the back of our brains and we fill this in with, if you're all a happy-go-lucky, upbeat kind of person, you'll fill it with, well, Liverpool have been brilliant and Liverpool have proven themselves over the years of being able to sustain and go on good runs. But if you maybe feel a bit fragile, and this is kind of where I am at the minute, to be honest, it is easy to fill that with all the situations where it didn't go our way.
And the other problem we've got as well is when you talk about them players that left and when things went a little bit awry, we've just lost Mane in the summer, so there's a bit of a mirror of that, isn't it? So people are going, oh, another top player's gone, a player who was absolutely fantastic for us and world class. Have we replaced them? I mean, I've already seen a bit on time. Nunes is no Mane, is he? Like, well, not going to be. He's 22 and he's been here for 2 minutes, leave him alone.
Yeah.
The other problem is a draw doesn't feel like a draw anymore.
Yes.
A draw feels like a defeat because of the opposition we're up against. Mm-hmm. Whenever we drop any sort of point, it's not just a loss, it's City have stretched their lead a little bit more. So what we need to do now is we need to dust ourselves off. I'm absolutely devastated that we've got to wait until next Monday to get back in the field again.
Yeah.
And we just need to make sure we keep as close to them as we can.
Yeah, you can tell that Liverpool have drawn 2 games back-to-back because all the red men tour, this is Anfield, are in the back pockets of Liverpool's owners. Shouts come out, they only ever come out when Liverpool have a couple of back-to-back disappointing results. It's always the barometer of where Liverpool are at. I know the point spot on there, Steve. It's funny, though, it was a joke I used on the Last Fan Standing show this week where Flav, the Spurs fan, basically called a draw against Chelsea a win, and we called a draw against Fulham a loss. You know, like not like deliberately, but like as a slip of the tongue, because that's that attitude right now, isn't it? Is that draw any drop points is seen as tantamount to a defeat, whereas it's not. But yeah, it doesn't change how we feel in the immediate aftermath of those games.
Yeah, and it's because of who we're up against. It's because of those two sides. I still believe at the end of the season we'll be notably further up the field in terms of points than the rest of them, and we didn't learn anything new from Chelsea Tottenham in terms of who emerges from those two to challenge the top two. I don't see that changing too much. And you're right, they do feel like losses when we draw. Such is the stakes we're playing for, such is the, you can't have too many opportunities to throw points away. And it is a throwing, we've dropped 4 points from games we should have won. We should be on six. We should be joint top of the table. That's our expectation, but it's not. It's not fanciful, Paul. It's justified. That's the team we are. That's where we should be. It's not like unreal expectations. So it's hard to take, and it doesn't look 100% on the pitch at the moment. Yeah. So I think that's probably the bigger thing that's eating into us. When do we turn that round? And it needs to be the next game.
The concerns, just to continue to speak to those, I guess, is I remember doing a video at some point last season. It was when I coined the term the crapping, and it's basically how your team doesn't get rubbish overnight. It's a death of a thousand cuts, and over a number of transfer windows, you go from a level where you're like you're the best on the planet, or you're the best in your league, and just a couple of transfer missteps over a long spell of time can all of a sudden you don't recognise it. It's like watching your hair grow. It's only when you look at it and look, you step back and look at it again. When we look at those squad pictures from Hodgson, and it's like the lineups for the Europa League, and you're looking at those and you go, Jesus, I didn't feel that was that bad at the time. But when you look at it now, you realise. But that's the problem where we're at, is because of the injuries to Jota, and now Konate, and obviously Firmino's missing, and you've got Thiago, and there's a couple, obviously there's others as well to throw into the mix on there. Liverpool are having to put their faith into guys that aren't quite there yet. Nunes being an example there. Carvalho, Elliott's still a very young footballer. We're not putting our stock or faith in the tried and tested. And you'd back these players to come good because our methodology and our recruitment has just generally been so sound. But again, it's like anything. It's that we're looking around at the moment going, and that's where the Mane conversations are going to come from, inevitably, is because you know Sadio Mane can score 20 goals a season, yeah. Whereas none of us knows that Diaz or Nunes or Carvalho can do that. And until they do that, it's a problem. But this is the problem. We're two games into the season, so there's not enough body of evidence for any of it yet. You know, and Old Trafford looming on the horizon doesn't lessen anxiety because we know they're shite. But what if we don't turn up against the shite Manchester United team? Imagine living in that world. Yeah.
I think part of the problem as well is a lot of people expected a refresh in midfield, because when we spoke about in the transfer show in the summer, we thought that maybe Ox will move on, and maybe one other, maybe Keita or something. But because those haven't moved on, because of Ox's injury and that, we haven't got room to bring another midfielder in. People are crying out for this midfielder when you've got we're absolutely chocking in there. Mm-hmm. So we're chocking in wages and we're chocking in places. You can't just throw players on top of players. It doesn't work that way. You have to rotate them if you're going to refresh.
Yeah.
So this, people are going to cry out for the midfield, but we haven't got. I personally don't think logistically we haven't got space for one.
Yeah. No, it is. I agree on that. And that's the problem now, is the midfield. The thing is not it's not the biggest problem Liverpool have got. They've got so many injuries that. We've actually got midfielders. That's not the issue. The issue now is that, you know, Firmino misses out. We don't know. Jota's still a couple of weeks away from being fit. Firmino's obviously a bit of a precaution. Doesn't get involved on Monday night against Palace. Nunes is now suspended for 3 games. Mm. So that's a thing in and of itself all of a sudden. You then got the centre back situation where they're having to be careful with Joe Gomez, but we all thought, okay, well cool, Gomez will come in. He has a little issue in the build up to it, and Nat Phillips has to start. And that becomes there's no issue with that depth. We've got brilliant depth in those departments, but there's no accounting for injuries, and that's another thing that just when these lads come back, it'll be fine. But they're not back now. So what we're looking for is we're grasping for some sort of like comfort. You know what I mean? Like some life raft in the storm. And it's probably going to be all right. But again, it just feels like all these things sort of feel stacked up at the moment. I mean, just to kind of spin it back again, I thought I'd check while we were talking about it. Going back to 1920, Man City again. They win the Charity Shield against us. They beat West Ham 5-0 on the first game of the season. They draw with Tottenham Hotspur next game. They beat Bournemouth. They beat Brighton. They lose 3-2 to Norwich City at Carrow Road. So then, you know, obviously in that space they're dropping. That's 5 points they dropped in the early stages of the Premier League. And again, that's a season in which they go on and win the league because Liverpool absolutely and utterly collapse, which we won't talk about as much anymore. What we need, Steve, is we need Liverpool to get a win against Manchester United to ease the fears. We could really do with, like you say, Dan Staff, you don't want to wish ill will or injury upon players, really, but also you kind of, you know, you kind of do, because you want a rough fairness to the universe. How can we have that many injuries? How would Man City cope if they had as many injuries as we had? And I can tell you, probably a lot worse than we have, because they haven't got anything like the squad depth that we do. But we could just do with seeing that City are fallible, because it will make everyone feel better. And the point is, City are always fallible. City lose mad games of football every single season. City did not win every game. They did not draw every game last season. They drew. They lost more games than us and drew slightly less.
Yeah,
they will drop points. But the trick is that psychologically, Liverpool need to feel like they're on it, like they're prepared to capitalise. It just feels at the moment like Liverpool have stumbled getting out the starting blocks, and you might not be afforded the opportunity to get back in if they're not careful.
It's not ideal to go to Old Trafford, whatever needing side Manchester United are, good, bad or indifferent, and they're very much indifferent at the moment. When your season hasn't started, it's not a game where you want to kickstart your season. I was looking for last night. I was looking for a win, but more so I was looking for a performance that was a signal to the crowd to say, it's cool, we've got this. We didn't get it. There was a lot of improvements. The attitude was right. The intensity was better. We lacked a bit of incisiveness and we weren't particularly sharp in front of goal. We could have been three up when they scored. But going to Old Trafford, trying to resurrect your form is less than ideal. Listen, they're dreadful. If we turn up, I would expect us to win. If we bring the quality, I would expect us to win.
Yeah.
But there's so many variables around it at the moment. We're likely to go with Carvalho left wing and Diaz centre forward with the numbers we've got.
Yeah.
And you look at that and you think, wow, we never planned for that.
Nope.
And 10 first team squad players injured. Yeah. 10. And they're all muscular injuries.
Klopp described as like there was a witch in the training centre this week or whatever. Like, but it, you know, I saw Cyber Undish, issues obviously are mate, and he did some great stuff on the sports science side of things a couple of weeks ago on Expert Insight. But you know, he said, you know, it's not to do with current workload, but it might be a knock-on impact of how much football they played last year and then the shortened pre-season. But maybe there's a fault in how they've been trained over the summer or something, because it's a freakish amount of injuries. But this is where we're at, you know, and this is where the fears come from. And this way, again, it's a bit of an old school thing to say, but like, you don't look at the league table until 10 games have been played, because it means very, very little. There's not enough points on this graph to chart Liverpool's season, because Ian, Liverpool are currently on the path for a 38 point season. You know what I mean?
You know, relegated?
Yeah, by a mile. Like, you know what I mean? That's what we're on, because we've drawn our two games, and if you were to correlate that, you can't draw a line of best fit with 2 points of data. Well, you can do, but it's not going to be anything remotely scientific. And that's the real tricky part of all this. We need more data. We need more games of football to be able to truly analyse where Liverpool are. But instinctively, deep down, I can't help but fall back to seasons where Liverpool had slow starts, and it went from this might be the season we challenge for the title to, oh, it's another season where we're fighting for top four. And that's very hard for me to overcome that voice in my head, because I've got far more years supporting Liverpool where we didn't win the league than with seasons when we did.
Listen, my teenage years were absolutely shocking as a Liverpool supporter. Them 90s were horrendous, and because we've been so near so far before, them thoughts will always come back. Just on the flip side, Steve said though about you don't really want to go to Man United when you're in this sort of form now. Can you imagine how much a win at Old Trafford's going to galvanise us, whether it's a scrappy 1-0 or whether it's a 3-0? That would lift our season to go and win at Old Trafford and sing the songs that we do at Old Trafford and stay 30 minutes behind and absolutely take the piss out of them. Mm-hmm. Would really galvanise our season. It helped the players and it helped the fans, because I think the fans are just as much struggling as the players.
The one thing
now
I thought was encouraging from the Crystal Palace game was how much the fans got on board with the fight. You know, 1-0 down, Darwin Nunez sent off, and obviously Luis Diaz helps immeasurably by being boss, but like, the fans really got up for that. There was a real sense of, like, rather than being doom and gloom and down in the pits about it, it was a bit of a collective fuck you, you know, we're gonna try and fight for this. And that's one of the things where you've just been able to create a magical moment where you do snatch it at the death, then that becomes something else. It's not. Liverpool are going to have to go and find their moment down the line. But that's something, you can only push that down the line so many times. And to your point, the Old Trafford is not the place really where you want to be looking for it. But we might just touch lucky that this is a good time to play them, because they're an absolute shit show and their confidence is on the floor and they've not got the quality of players and they're having all their own basket case issues. Their fans are looking to empty the stadium on purpose. Don't give them a choice as far as what Liverpool's mission will be in that one, and then give it another couple of weeks and kind of see where it lies then, because you're right. Yeah, I think we're all saying, Liverpool obviously haven't fucked the league up yet. They just haven't. But if they don't put their ideas up, they will have done. If you don't win loads of football games, you won't win the league. None of us needs to say that out loud, Rob. But we will.
You need not to be relying on other people's misfortunes.
Yeah, and Man City's moreover. That's what I mean, unfortunately, yeah. We're going to play ourselves into that situation if we don't pick it up soon. But yeah, I mean, I'd look at it and say that's the problem, is that often you can separate those draws out through the season and you can live with them, but we always have this, and because the worst times under Jurgen Klopp are very rarely actual defeats, because we don't lose many games of football.
No.
Certainly not when fans are in the stadium. It's often when we draw two back-to-back in a week, or over, because we only play two games a week, and I've seen this when I've done the books on successful seasons, so 18-19 when we're in the Champions League, and when we win everything else the year after. The worst we have it is normally in the first start of the season, we're trying to get up to form, and we normally draw a group stage game, and maybe we draw a league game that follows it, and the most toxic and negative and doom and gloom...
Come from under the little rock.
Yeah, the most doom and gloom the Liverpool fan base gets is when we've drawn two games back-to-back, which, going back to your point, is kind of shows where we're at. That's the high standards, but also we are very privileged if this is as bad as it gets, then we do need to have a little look at ourselves and say it's on us to put our heads back on. We need to go, well, there actually isn't any major flaw in Liverpool Football Club that needs massive scrutiny or insight. It might be we're all a bit mentally weak, and maybe we need to just sort of step up and... broaden our shoulders a little bit and
be believers again.
Yeah.
Well, unlike Ian, my childhood was glorious. Well, right? Because we won everything, and then fell off a cliff and didn't win anything, and we were crap at times. And that we grew up with the adage that worry about what we do and don't worry about what the others do, and everything will be okay.
Yeah.
Those days are gone, because Manchester City is such an undeniable force in terms of what they do.
Yeah.
We can't think like that anymore. No. Well, I can't think like that anymore, and that's really, really hard to process.
Yeah, I say we've got to find. It sounds that, but in the short term, when you're not winning, you've got to find things to enjoy from footy or walk away from it for a bit. You know what I mean? Find ways to divert your attention. I'm miserable. Like, I've been miserable for 2 weeks because I like to see Liverpool win, we all do, and I'm much more miserable when Liverpool don't win, obviously, and again, every Liverpool fan will feel, and every football fan feels that way about the football club, by the way. But yeah, we're so used to winning that we've forgotten the coping mechanisms for not being a team that doesn't win every single week. But yeah, hopefully they're able to pick themselves up. They should do. The fundamentals remain the same for Liverpool. The goals remain the same. The coaching staff, they've still got the best players in the positions on the planet, in the same positions that we had last season.
And we've added a little bit to it with Carvalho.
Exactly. We just need that little, I think a little glimmer of hope would be good. Old Trafford's a good place for that to start. And if Man City want to just shoot themselves in the foot just to let us all know that it's... But I want to see them bleed. That's the point. If it can bleed, exactly. Whereas if it bleeds, we can kill it, I think, is a predator line. So we could do with a little bit of that to basically ease the pressure. Right, the club legends in the Discord, I asked them, have we fucked the league up already? Scott T says, technically, nope. We've been further behind and took it to the wire. Realistically, it's going to be one hell of a fight back, and the Reds got to pull their socks up and get going ASAP. And that's the thing, isn't it? It's recoverable. It's stupid. But there is a psychological damage that comes where if all of a sudden you can't get that magic and look, and it feels like things are conspiring against you. We had this happen in the COVID season where we just couldn't buy a win at home because we got lost in that, in a negative cycle of it all. Even until in the January, we're still thinking, we get a couple of wins here, we'll be right back into the title challenge. But 2, 3, 4 games, all of a sudden that becomes a tailspin that you have. You're actually fighting just to get out of that rather than fighting for your what comes above and beyond it. Mr. Prash says, no, not yet. I think we still have a shot, but it's not going to be easy. There'll be other teams who draw, a sample being Chelsea's game with Spurs. City at all will definitely drop points. Let's not shit the bed just yet. Brilliant. Josh Horse is not for me personally. Still have the chance to put these poor results behind us. As Errol stated last night, by having to play the big teams at least once at Anfield. Danny M says, still 108 points to play for. Abe says, no, this season's going to be absolute anarchy and the World Cup is going to have a huge impact that is immeasurable this early on. We're going through an injury crisis now, but the odds are City will have a similar situation and probably at a much shittier time. They also trim their squad this summer, even though it doesn't feel like it right now. Also, the bulk of our squad will get a mini pre-season during World Cup, whereas City have approximately 14 players featuring. Hard to believe right now, and I'm not saying these points don't matter, but I genuinely think we'll be in the mix in May. CZ Red says, have not fucked up the league, but now we need to win matches that we did not last season. For example, we need to beat Chelsea and Spurs at home now. City can still be draws, beat Arsenal and United home and away like last season. All of this being said, this is assuming that City or whoever are playing at a 19 point plus pace. If the league is more in the 85 to 89 point winner than a 92 to 95 point winner, then the last two results were actually quite good, as they were 2 points gained rather than 4 lost. I think that's a really good point. That is that in any normal season of football, the non-City get over 90 point seasons, that's it. You're talking about battling, particularly Crystal Palace at 10 men. To be able to drag that game from 1-0 down to get yourself back in it would be considered a good point. Fulham would still be shite. Jith says, can't be considered after 2 games. We thought it was over in January last year and almost won the quad. What I will say though is our margin for error keeps decreasing each passing week. We don't win, and it's always going to be more of a struggle when you give City a lead, as they don't tend to give those up easily. All we can do is keep on fighting and see what it gets us. I had a horrible weekend post Fulham, obsessing over the league, so I just can't let that happen again. Absolutely. And oh man, on the socials, Ross saying Man City dropped points early last season, lost home to Spurs on the final day, on the first day. Don't remember saying we'd won the league 2 games in, therefore we can't lose it 2 in. Everything seems doom and gloom because of the injuries. Mefs on Twitter, we're used to winning, waited ages for the season to come back, and then can't handle how we've played because we aren't used to it. City fans will be bricking themselves as much as we are. 2 injuries in midfield or fullback and they're in trouble. We've all been drowned in Sky etc. licking Haaland's Norwegian ballsack and think he's going to end it all. It's bollocks. This is still the best side of my life, best manager of my life. Let's all fucking enjoy it. Well, in Ross, and just says, stop being positive, Ross. That's far too top red of you. And he's still on the payroll until he leaves us in September. Yeah, brilliant, boss. Yeah, I totally. I thank you very much for that, guys. I ultimately agree. But as I say, fears and anxieties are fears and anxieties. They're very, you know, unless you're prey on the savannah. And you know, and you've got those deep anxieties, and it's because you are being stalked by a lion. You know, most anxieties, modern anxieties, tend to be a lot of creations of our own head and exacerbated by our own fears and what have you. So yeah, that's a lot of what
good
it is.
Good to share. Good to get that out and share it.
Absolutely, I think that's important.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row, dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.